Financial Matters.
Today's Luthuli is my guest, investment manager at Luthuli Capital. Mthu, good evening to you. Are you well?
I'm good, thank you, Aubrey. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. So I looked at the conversation you had with a young lady who had been in a relationship with a guy for 13 years, a guy who perhaps had questionable levels of ambition and so forth. And they had had a, if I understand the story correctly, had a pretty uneventful relationship for 13 years. She loved him, but she was worried about perhaps his lack of financial ambition. He wasn't the highest of earners. And she had made a decision when she was younger that she wants to give her children, her offspring, if she should ever have them at some point, the best life money can buy. How do we view this person, and to what extent should we be thinking about our romantic partnerships when thinking about our finances?
Yeah, it was quite an interesting conversation, and one I struggled through, to be honest. And I even asked him if I can discuss it on radio, because they're still together as far as I know. Perhaps let me just take a step back and just frame the story so everyone's on the same page. So I recently had a consultation with this lady who came to me because she found herself at a crossroads in her relationship, and she hoped that I'd be able to help her with an answer. And the dilemma was that she's crazy in love with this guy. It's a high school sweetheart, but she doesn't know if she should marry this guy and build a life together with him because of his current financial standing. So they met in grade 10 when they were like 16, and they're now 29 years old. So, and she doesn't know if it still makes sense for her to be in a relationship with him, or does he still make sense to her as a partner? And the reason being is that he never finished his degree, and he's an extremely low earner compared to her, who, I mean, she's got an MBA, her career is going great. She earns almost four times what he does. And based on his current career and educational ambitions, she doesn't see him ever earning much more than what he does at the moment. And she, by her own admission, says she loves him dearly, but she finds herself at a point where she wants to start a family. And as you said, as someone who grew up in a financially unstable household, she doesn't come from money. It's extremely important for her that if she brings kids into the world, that those kids are born into a comfortable and solid living. She wants to provide her children with a beautiful home, the best private education money can buy, and a diverse cultural experience by traveling locally and offshore. You know, all the things that she was denied growing up because of money.
Yeah.
And she's worried that this partner won't be able to support her financially in this endeavor. So now where she finds herself, she wants a partner who is committed to the same things as her financially, the same things as her financially, someone who wants to be a high earner, so that they can share those responsibilities of their future professional and personal lives. And she loves her partner. She feels he's perfect in every sense of the word, except for financially. And she fears that she would be making a huge mistake leaving him just for money, and wanted to know my thoughts on the matter, because she feels that in the conversations that they've had, he doesn't seem motivated or ambitious enough. And she says that because he refuses to study further or finish his degree, he doesn't look like he wants to improve his career or his future earnings prospects by learning any new skills. And that's it. And when I say, wow, when I tell you that the longer I do this job, the more I realize that I shouldn't have studied finance, but rather I should have done a psychology degree.
Yeah.
Just know that I'm not lying, because I won't pretend to be fully qualified to answer this dilemma. So I'll try in my conversation with you, give you the financial side of the equation, the things that I discussed with her. But I thought, what a great conversation to bring to radio and to the listeners, so we can chip in on the life side.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a bit topical as well, you know, in these V-class times, if I can put it that way. Yeah.
All right. So give us a call on 011-883-0702-021446-0567. How do you view this young lady? Do you see her as somebody who is correct in wanting to get professional advice, not only for her financial issues, but for her romantic connections as they pertain to her financial issues, right? And I'm interested to hear what Nduduzi advised, but I'm interested to hear too from you. Is that a consideration for you in your romantic relationships? The levels of ambitions of your partner, the levels of ambitions of your partner for the goals that you might have. How much of those goals are shared between you and your partner? Yeah. And will you give up a romantic relationship if it is such that the relationship makes, or the relationship is made up of two incompatible people in as far as the ambition for financial goals is concerned? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about this. What did you advise, Mdu?
Yeah, so look, the first thing I said is that we need to frame the question properly, because from my conversation with her and her fears that, you know, do I leave this person who, like she says in her own words, she loves him and he's perfect in every way except financially. I think she felt that fear of, like you said, people might see her as a gold digger or someone who loves money more than this 13-year-old relationship. And for me, what I told is I love this topic because I really admired her bravery. I admired this woman's bravery to speak so candidly about a matter that so many people encounter, but they simply ignore or hope that it will magically resolve itself. And that's the role of money in relationships. And she's identified something that millions of people in relationships experience every day, but they avoid thinking about it because money is a taboo subject. People see talking money in relationships as something that's tragic or unromantic, because you're in love with someone who emotionally and personally is an ideal match. So why do you want to talk money? But if there's a fundamental misalignment on the logistical end, you've got to talk about it. And in the real world, you can't pretend that where two people must live and build a life together over decades, sometimes the latter trumps the former. No matter how much we want to not admit that because we're afraid of how callous it might make us look, I'm not saying that one should simply marry for money. I'm not saying that. But we cannot and should not ignore how important money is in building and maintaining a relationship. So if I look at myself and my wife, I don't know if Trudy and I will be married until death do us part. I hope so. But what I can say is that we've gotten this far because when we decided to be life partners, it's because we were aligned first and foremost as partners in life. Partners in life. Before we were lovers, we were partners. And what I mean by that is we agreed on all of the fundamental questions and goals of life and asked ourselves the painful questions before we agreed to get married. So, you know, where do we stand on these very unromantic topics? Yeah. You know, so we talked about money heavily when it was not a thing that people did. And we went through every single possible what if that was unpleasant to think about, and we had a contract in place for our assets and antenuptial at a time when there was basically no one had done that in our family. We were being told, well, that's so unromantic, and you're already saying that you guys are going to get divorced. But when I look at my clients who become divorced, and my friends, even forget professionals, are my friends who become divorced, who've divorced around me, with the people who seem to be made for them, I see the same things over and over again. There was something that they didn't align on, and which they either knew or ignored it, and they never addressed it in the first place. And then it became a deal breaker over time. Sometimes this is money. Most times it's money. Sometimes it's career and how much that career takes away from the family. Sometimes it's even something as the person lacks commitment. I don't want to be with one person for the rest of my life. They showed that, but you chose to ignore that. But in any case, it's really, I find, an issue of, I just don't love this person anymore. It's a crack that starts small, and then it grows into something that's irreparable. And because it's ignored up front, it becomes something irreparable later. And I told this lady that she's lucky enough to see the crack now in a big, big way. don't make the mistake of thinking that you can change something so fundamental about the other person, because that isn't fair to either of you. And what I was referring to there is that, of course, we can't predict what this person's future finances will be. You know, they could win the lottery for all you know, or something drastic can happen in their lives. But if someone, you've talked to them about this and they've repeatedly shown a lack of will to empower themselves, be it through education or gaining the necessary skills, don't ignore things like that, because it's not fair to either of you. You either marry this person knowing exactly what you're getting, or you don't marry them for that exact reason. But this likely isn't going to change going forward based on the information at hand, and that's what we have now. So if I had a misalignment this huge with my current wife and I saw this early on, I can assure you that probably it would have been a deal breaker for me, and we probably wouldn't be married today. And it's tragic that it's not a conversation anyone wants to have, particularly in this culture of love conquers all. But it's particularly that culture that teaches us that any non-romantic reason for calling something off is just because we aren't romantic, or we're gold diggers, or we don't believe enough. But those are the things that lead us into these messes, because happily ever afters are constructed out of mutually compatible, pragmatic adult decisions. And that means accepting that love is not enough for a lot of good reasons. Love is important, but it's not enough. And that doesn't mean any less of us, because financial compatibility will play a huge role in the success of any relationship. Money is going to impact any choice you and your partner decide to make or not to make, whether it's buying a house, having kids, where you're going to retire. And each of those things takes a considerable amount of financial planning. If you're not on the same page or don't share the same values when it comes to money, it is definitely going to cause problems down the line. And let's be clear, financial compatibility does not mean you need to go looking for a rich partner, or you need to find a partner with the same financial standing as yourself, or that you need to kick someone to the curb because they don't earn enough money as you. Rather, financial compatibility has much more to do with your respective attitude and values and habits surrounding money, and it's important that we have that conversation.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial, 021-446-0567. Let's have that conversation. And you talked earlier, Du, about the framing of the situation more accurately. And I want to start off by asking the question, was she really having a conversation about money, or was she having a conversation about the kind or the quality of life that she desired? Yeah, because it's very easy to go judgmental on this young lady because the conversation was had with a financial planner in the context of finances and money, right? Mm. But can we really zoom in on what issues she was raising? She was, in my opinion, raising issues of not just financial compatibility, but values and principle compatibility, in terms of what is it that we want of our life post our marriage, right? So yes, the conversation in this particular instance is framed around the issues of money and financial compatibility. But would I be correct that to simply understand the issues that she was raising as being just about money, and by the way, nothing wrong for that conversation to be just about money. If relationship issues can be just about sex or just about what people wear, what car you've been found in, why can't they be just about money? But I'm asking the fundamental question that says, as we try to frame this conversation correctly, was she talking about money, or was she talking about values? Was she talking about principles? Was she talking about quality of life that are attained in this dimension by money?
It was definitely a quality of life conversation, because I think the problem now comes because she's at a point where she's decided two things. She wants to get married. So it's almost like a crossroads where it's, it's commit or look elsewhere. But most importantly is the question around children, because like I said, and that's why I framed it, that she doesn't come from money. She comes from poverty, and in digging deeper, she still has a lot of scars that a lot of people carry from growing up without enough. And one of the promises that she made herself is that her children would have a much better life. So one of the key things that is a non-negotiable for her is being able to provide a certain standard in terms of quality of life, certain non-negotiables. And now it's a matter of, if I commit to this person, then it's all on me. It's all on me to financially provide that standard of living. Yeah. Whereas she had hoped that it would be more of a partnership, and that is, we've had this conversation before, one of the benefits of marriage is that you're able to combine resources, you know? So that was the conversation. It's all these 13 years, when it was just the two of them, this hasn't been much of an issue. It's that now we've come to a point where it's a commit or look elsewhere, because she wants to get married, but more importantly, she wants to have children. And as much as she is willing to compromise on her standard of living, when it comes to the quality of life that she wants to provide for her children, she's not willing to compromise on that. And that's why she's asking to say, is this the right person that I should be carrying on with? Because in every other asset, the guy's fantastic, you know, but these are her words, not mine.
Yeah.
She's madly in love, supportive guy. On all other assets, it's just this this one aspect, which is finances. And she says she's tried to raise the conversation to say, hey, my guy, what is the plan here? You know, she's even gone as far as to say, you didn't finish your studies. I'm willing to pay for you to finish those degrees, so at least that the job prospects improve. You know, so you might not be where you want to be now, but I at least want to know that there is an opportunity for you to improve as life goes on. And he doesn't seem interested.
Are you? Give me a call, 011-883-0702. Have you engaged in this kind of conversation? Just judging from the stuff coming on social media platforms, I can see that this is a very, very important topic. I'd love to hear from our listeners by way of telephone call on 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Is this a conversation that you have broached, that you have had with your romantic partner? How important is your financial compatibility? And by the way, financial compatibility, Mdu, does not mean that you earn the same money. It simply means that you have the same, or you are on the same page. So in other words, what I'm saying is that...
alignment of values.
Sure.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is that the one partner could be the high earner and the other partner could not be a high earner. But if there's an understanding between the two of them, that still represents an alignment. Because I'm also picking up here that there might be the... erroneous understanding here that we're saying that people have got to be earning exactly the same amount of money, have the same levels of ambition, financially speaking. But the reality I'm hearing from what you're saying is that one person can be the high earner and one person can be a low earner, yeah? Because I don't believe that there is a situation of no earning at all, especially if you're in a relationship where you are tackling life together. But if there is an alignment of values, an understanding of each other at that level, that in itself is an understanding or an alignment?
So definitely, financial compatibility does not mean you need to go looking for someone who's earning the same as you or is in the same financial standing as yourself, nor does it mean that just because someone earns less than you, it means that they deserve to be dumped. Financial compatibility is about your attitudes towards money and the habits surrounding money, getting on the same page. So so the thing you talk about there, it's about communication. And this is what I said to her, is that, like I say, I should have studied psychology, not finance. You know, communication is key when it comes to money. And I've said this several times before, and I'll say it again. It's truly sad that I know more about my clients' finances than their own spouse. And I hate to say it, but the biggest challenge couples face when it comes to their finances is just usually a severe breakdown in communication.
Yeah.
Whether that's communication between each other or communication with reality, facing reality, the subject of money is just like everything else in your relationship. It comes down to knowing how to communicate. And when you're determining your financial compatibility, that can only start with one thing, a conversation. And no matter at what stage you are in your relationship, it's never too late to start discussing money. And first things first, if you and your partner don't know what your respective money situations are, then you have a nearly impossible time mapping out a plan for your financial future, because that's what you're doing if you're getting married. You're trying to combine the two lives. And the first thing you need to do is to disclose where you each stand financially and what that means for your plans going forward. And it's a process that I call, it's in the financial world, it's called getting financially naked, where you're sharing your finances. And that doesn't mean that you're swapping ATM PIN numbers and you run off to get a joint bank account. That's not what getting financially naked is. Instead, it's creating a foundation upon which you can create hypothetical scenarios about how to handle money if you decide to get married and share a life. And this conversation is where you go over all the basics. This is the conversation I had with my wife before we got married. How much do you earn in terms of net income? How much do you owe in terms of loans, credit cards, other debt? How much do you spend and save? And down to, do you budget, if at all? And as you start having this conversation, the conversation you're having is not so much about how much are you earning. What you're trying to find out is, what do you do with your money? What are your plans? And can I trust you to combine my goals and dreams with yours, to combine financial powers and build a household with you? That's what you're trying to do. It's not about catching each other out. It's not about looking down on the other person simply because they earn less than you. You're trying to find financial compatibility, and financial compatibility is about ensuring that you and your partner are on the same page when it comes to money. And I told my client that if she's worried about her partner's ability to increase his future income and support their family financially in future, she should speak plainly about that. Tell him what her expectations are, what she'll be doing to make that desired future financially viable, and what her expectations of him are, and give him a chance to make a case for himself. And most importantly, understand that although this is something that she's been thinking about for a while, it might not be a conversation that he's currently prepared to have. So give him time to think about this. Have the conversation, but don't try to catch him off. He doesn't need to answer you right there and there. Give him time to think about his options and get back to you with an informed answer. If you really value the relationship, it's not about catching each other out. It's not about demanding an answer on the spot. It's trying to understand each other and make a very difficult situation work. The mere fact that you are here, I said to the client, talking to me about this, is proof enough that you love this person. You're trying to make this work. So also give him a chance to try and make it work.
I feel like saying that, just on that score, do that. It's a conversation, not an ultimatum, right?
Yes, because
I think sometimes conversations fail because of tonality, because of entitlement, because of the embedded ultimatum in that conversation. But I think what you're saying is that this conversation must be had. It must be had if indeed you are committed to the longevity and future prosperity of your relationship. It is fundamentally a conversation about compatibility of values. Yes, the vehicle in this conversation is finances, but it could be about food. It could be about sex. It could be about the numbers of holidays that you want, the numbers of pictures you want on your walls and the frame. It could be about so many different things. Just in terms of how it's framed, but it's really, really at the end of it, fundamentally about principles, about values, and about the commitment that you have to that relationship. And man, oh man, money is a very, very big part of the understanding of how those principles find expressions, or those values and principles find expression in a relationship. I want to take some calls. I want to take some calls on 011-883-0702. So many messages coming through to me. Itumeleng Mutaung says, I love this topic. Oh, no. I love this topic. So real and open. Lesego Petlele says, Aubrey, even if it's about quality of life, why not attain that for yourself, then go into a commitment without looking for that in a partner? But what happens if the relationship is already operational, even before you were aware of such concepts? Yeah. Because relationships sometimes predate our ability to have these kinds of conversations, I suppose. And then Mosepele Safadi says, Bro Obs, I think I would not because of money, but lack of ambition. Oh, wait, Bro Obs, I think I would not because of money, but lack of ambition, Bro Obs. Money is the source, while is important. I'm really not sure, Mosepele, what you're saying. Perhaps just read your tweet again and help me out as to how to read it. But I'd love to hear from you. Anonymous is in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Anonymous.
Bro Obs, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Anonymous. What's on your mind, sir?
Good. Bro Obs, just one comment from my side. In terms of the age-old tradition of men always being the providers in a specific situation, and maybe the actual person that Mdu was talking to should look at it from a point of view that, look, this person not having the same amount of money that she's earning complements her life with other things. And when I say complements her life with other things, you see with a lot of men earning a lot of money, that the woman takes care of the house, takes care of all of the other things that actually builds that relationship and actually builds that financial stability as well.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, I mean, if you're talking a 13-year relationship, surely, surely things have been going well otherwise. And why are we making a big deal about the money issue? That is my comment, Obs.
Thanks very much, Anonymous in Johannesburg. And I suppose there's room for that kind of debate, Mdu, that what Anonymous is raising. Although I must quickly point out that when a couple is talking about themselves and the unique issues that they are facing in that particular relationship, bringing in the larger meta debate about men and women and historical issues doesn't mean much to that particular couple.
And also, I mean, Aubrey, we are men, and this, as men, let's not pretend we are not ego-driven. And as much as the guy might be a modern guy and be open to the discussion of, I want to be a stay-at-home dad and you take care of everything, the problem in those cases then becomes the extended family, feeding that conversation to be like, oh, like you see, you know, you're a real man, how can you accept this? You know, I'm generalizing here, but that's generally where I find it. The couple can agree on it, but the extended family, if they're not on board, tends to break down the whole thing. Because, you know, a marriage isn't just the two people, it's also the two families. But you definitely make a point there that it's a unique situation between the two partners. And like I said, you know, to win in life and finances, you've got to be in the same team with your spouse. And when it comes to finances, you've got to ditch that me versus you mentality. Drop the his and her money phrase and replace it with our money. If you want to enjoy financial unity, and you'll need to follow a game plan that you come up with and agree to together. But understand that even if you do that, it's very hard if your families don't also get on the same page as you.
And that's why people have had to break up relationships with their families. I mean, if there's no compatibility at some level, usually those the kinds of things happen. What I'm trying to say about what Anonymous is raising, and it's a valid issue, right? That men, for the longest time, have been the big earners. They were the ones that were bringing the bacon, as it were.
The breadwinners. Yeah,
yeah. They've been the breadwinners over a very, very long time. And why has this conversation not arisen at that time? Sure, you can have that conversation. The reality, though, is that women are no longer beholden to men in that way anymore. And family structures are no longer necessarily that way. And thirdly, when a couple is having this conversation, those issues, those historical issues, are not brought to bear because it's about them and their particular issues. And that's why I think I must agree with you when you say that the conversation has got to be about your relationship, the dynamics of the unique dynamics of your relationship. And you need to find compatibility and understanding between each other in that specific unique relationship, rather than bring to bear all sorts of historic references to men and women when it's about the two of you. Let me take some more calls. Masilo in Midrand. Hi, Masilo.
Hi, good evening, Ops. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Masilo, go ahead.
Fine. Yeah, basically, we are talking of a relationship, which means these two people need each other, okay?
Yeah.
And when we come to a relationship, we come with different disciplines. For instance, I would be exposed to finance more than the other partner, and the other partner might be exposed to keeping the family warm, keeping the children in the right direction.
Yeah.
Now, it does not mean when I have finance, I don't need the other side of a healthy, well-doing family. Not necessarily in terms of finance, but there is laughter, there is smiles, there's playful, there's all these other things. Now, because I'm the finance driver, all of a sudden, I shouldn't say I don't need that other side, because that other side could actually be stabilizing me to get more finance for the family, irrespective of that is a man or is a woman. Soon as he cuts off that one, or I cut off that one as a maid, the finance also management will also fall apart, because unhappiness starts brewing, misjudgment and blaring any vision that I used to have, even before the relationship. So I'm saying that lady needs to understand that not one aspect in a relationship works. It's a combination of many aspects, what the other partner gives and what the other partner receives and also gives back to make it work. You know, for instance, I've been married for about 35 years.
Yeah.
And I'm the finance driver in the family. Not that I'm a maid, but the other aspect is I've got somebody who loves kids, who loves other things which sometimes I fall short. And because of that happiness, I'm able to continue doing the final aspect. So I'm just saying she needs to understand life is a question of balancing. It's not that I want a rich man or I want somebody who thinks about finance about me. What about the other side that makes it happier for you to go and get money?
And which is why that conversation must be had, right?
Exactly. My last point also will be that I was looking at the YouTube video of the known guy, Elon Musk, and his wife is a musician, and the guy is a trillionaire.
Yeah.
I mean, you would say that, how do they get compatibility? But music makes life easier for this guy to go and hunt. Yeah. That was my assumption when I was reading that.
No, absolutely agree with you. I'm emphasizing again, Masilo, that we mustn't get it twisted to understand this conversation to be meaning that compatibility only means when people earn the same amount of money.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Compatibility can mean the situation like you've just described with Elon Musk and his wife. That the one, there is understanding. They are on the same page, is the issue that I think needs to be emphasized here. Masilo is in Midrand because, the value brought onto a relationship by one member of this team cannot always be made to be understood to be just monetary. There are other factors that people bring to a relationship. But the issue here is, do we understand each other? And that's why the conversation must be had. Kat is in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Kat.
Hi, Aubrey, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Kat. What's on your mind?
I'm great. I'm a bit nervous, but
no,
I hope
it's
I can...
just us, man. Come on.
First time just...
Yeah.
I hope I could just bring my point across.
Sure.
I think that the lady has a very good point that she's bringing across, but I think many of us are making an assumption that her partner is coming from a disadvantaged background. You know, it could be a possibility that her partner is someone who has been used to being taken care of.
Yeah.
He has never really been in that position where he has to be the provider. You know?
Yeah.
So how does she deal with that aspect? Because how can she now spark an ambition in him when he has sort of placed her in a position of replacing, let's say, his parent?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
used to provide for him,
yeah.
and now she has replaced that position.
Yeah.
And it's a great fear for myself. I'm a black African woman, yeah. and you know, yeah. what we have grown up with is that the man is the provider.
Yeah.
But now we are faced with this complex scenario where someone has a completely different background, where they've always been taken care of, and they are happen to be a man.
Yeah.
So how do you consolidate that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's part of the question that the lady is asking.
Yeah.
Yes, Kat, so I just want to put that
I hear you, and let's hear what Ndu has to say as he closes this conversation. But thank you very much, and welcome to the team, man. Ndu, your final thoughts on this one?
Yeah, look, I can't speak with any knowledge as to if he grew up privileged or anything like that, but I do take the point. I think the key thing in closing that I think maybe some people miss is that, and maybe it's a conversation for next week that we must talk about, is a lot of what's feeding this conversation is the scars that this lady carries from growing up poor, and all the things that comes with growing up poor, and growing up in, and now getting to a point where she wants to have kids and does not want them to go through that thing. It's definitely, and from my conversation with her, it was definitely not a money-grabbing conversation or I want a rich man. It was rather looking for a partner who can match her financial ambitions, not because she wants to go buy Porsches and Ferraris and champagne,
yeah.
but rather because of the quality of life that she wants to provide for her kids because of the lack of quality of life that she experienced growing up. Yeah.
It is literally always great talking to you. How do people follow you?
Sure. They can go to our website, litulicapital.com. It's got our full contact details. Or just look for Lituli Capital on Facebook or Twitter. Or just follow me directly on Twitter at Trust Fund Zulu.
Great talking to you. Talk again next week. Duduz Lutuli, the investment manager at Lituli Capital, talking about some very pertinent issues.